Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm so excited to have my new friend, Angela, with us, and you're going to love this conversation. So quick context setting, so you know who she is. She's an internationally recognized speaker, author, dating and relationship coach, and she helps individuals and couples. She's endorsed by John Gray. She is an adjunct professor in the Graduate Social Work School at the University of Denver. So she does all of the things for all of the people. Angela, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bella, for having me. I'm excited to be here and dive into this conversation.
Oh, well, good. Well, let's dive right in. Tell us about you and your recent love story. Kind of tell us about baby Angela to where you got now.
Oh, okay. So I did just get married in November. Thank you so much. We eloped to Bali and I actually married my childhood crush. I met him when I was 5 years old. Our mothers are friends since childhood. I met him when he was 5 years old, came into his grandmother's house. We were there and I just had eyes for him and, you know, blushed ever since that moment I met him. And we have been in and out of each other's lives, weaving in and out, and also living parallel lives. You know, he was married before. This is my first marriage, but we always stayed connected. There were several years, obviously, when he was married and times that we lost touch. And we dated 15 years ago, but it wasn't the right time. We did date. We've dated and we tried this a couple times, but we were not equipped or ready for marriage. I know I wasn't. I thought I did. I had this burning, insatiable desire to be in partnership. And what I realized, you know, going back to little Angela, was that burning desire to be married, feeling that it would fulfill me and complete me, was really tied to a wound that I had as a child. My parents divorced when I was 4 years old. And so a void was created in that separation and my parents' divorce and creating a long distance relationship with me and my father. So I was looking for something outside of me to complete that void. And, you know, so the journey for me to get to where I am was really the impetus happened when my dog died in 2014. And it was like my heart was cracked open. And so everything that I may have tucked away over the years came like a geyser gushing out of me. And it was
bubbling out.
Oh my God. It was so painful. I either could skip over it. I could put a Band-Aid over it. You know, as everyone else said, get another dog. And I'm like, no, I need to sit in this pain. And I need to figure out what this is and move through it so that it's part of my past or becomes part of me, but I've moved through the most difficult parts of it and understand it. So I really looked at my grief, my loss, my pain, and I was grieving the loss of a young girl who didn't have a traditional family and, you know, grieving the loss of my parents' marriage, grieving a lot of little losses that I didn't realize. And so when I did the work that I now coach women through and I took that deep dive into learning myself, understanding myself, healing those voids, forgiving myself, forgiving my parents, you know, forgiving the childhood that I created in my head that I wanted, you know, in terms of a family, which really drove my desire to do it differently than the narrative that I had as a child. And not that I grew up in a great home, single mom, strong woman, great women in my family, but there was the lacking of masculine figures in my home.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that really created this need to be married. And so I had to do the work. And I'm living in New York City where everyone's married and everyone feels like they're living a fabulous life. And I'm like, I want that. Like, I want the guy on Wall Street and the this and the baby carriage and, you know, stroll around Central Park. I wanted what I saw, and not realizing how disconnected I really was from, you know, the real idea of marriage and family. And so it took me to doing this dive, this work, and letting go of that attachment to an idea of marriage and really understanding who I am and what I wanted. And also my partner doing the work, because I think I was waiting on him for a long time too. It wasn't just me doing decades of work. So he did the work, and life presented itself, and the timing was like, now's the time.
Oh, wow. I love that. And it didn't work because you hadn't done your work. He hadn't done his work prior to that. So 2014, you crack open.
Crack open.
Oof. Tell us, many of my listeners are at that point where they're cracked open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe they've been cracked open and maybe they're healing and they're walking through this. But tell us, after you cracked open, what do we need to do to get to a healthy place?
Yeah. So I really believe in, you know, using pain, like, you know, really like holding your pain as a, you know, what is it? Look at it and create an intimate relationship with it. Mine was writing. I started writing and journaling. So I turned my pain into purpose. And through writing, my love sanctuary was created. My business was created. And, you know, I started finding meaning in other things. I started finding fulfillment in things that were not attached to other people, but were from the inside out. You know, finding what brought me joy, not just fleeting moments of happiness when I was traveling and, you know, going to a gala or an event in New York. You know, what is life like when it's just you? And things aren't just like, you know, always popping or, you know, exciting. How do you deal in those dull moments? And so I would encourage your readers, you know, your listeners, you know, once they've moved through that pain, is to figure out, in terms of dating and relationship, what is it that you want? Not what your parents had, not what your grandparents had, or what they say you should have, or even going back as many generations as you can. What is it that you want? And maybe it defies what the narrative and the paradigm that you think you're supposed to have, and it's okay for it to be unorthodox, and move in the direction of that. And so after you've moved through that pain, which was what happened to me, if you still desire a partnership.
Which you did.
I did.
Like.
I did
still want to go through your pain and you're like, okay. Yep. And then what did you realize through walking through your pain about love and relationships? It sounds like you said, I went through the pain. I had to really discover who I was and what brought me joy, not just the fun vacations or the galas. So what do you do in that work, right? Do you say, who am I when I'm at my best?
Who am
when
I
do I feel purpose-driven? Tell us about that.
How do you feel at your best? What are you doing when you feel at your best? What are you doing when you're feeling your worst? How do you comfort yourself at your worst, right? It's really that inward journey of self-love. And how do I address my own wounds? Which is, if you've gone through that pain journey that we talked about, you're learning how to support yourself. You're learning how to nurture yourself. You're learning how to be the mother and the parent to yourself that maybe you didn't get, or maybe you didn't know how to receive. You know, when I came out of that, what I did realize, I was okay not having children. And
wow.
And I had a burning desire to have a baby. But what I realized is what I was looking for was inside of me. And it was the stories that I wanted to tell, the narratives I wanted to tell, the books I wanted to write that became my babies. So who are you when you don't have your religious institutions telling you who you are, when you don't have your parents, the television? And it's hard to silence those voices. But that's what I would say you do after you move through some of that heart-wrenching pain, is you sit down and you write, what are my core values? What do I believe in? And when I say I believe those things, how does my life reflect and parallel the things that I say I value? Do I really live up to the things I say are important to us? And I find sometimes that's the contradiction we live by. We say these values are important to us, but they never show up on our calendar. We don't embody them. wholeheartedly and we want to attract them in another partner. I think you have to really become what you're seeking in every possible way.
And so you made this shift of, I thought I wanted to birth a human, to going through this exercise where it sounds like you identified some of your values. And that translated into, I want to teach and I want to write books. What were those values that led you to that?
Connection, purpose, God-driven purpose. Mm. I am a woman of faith and I wanted to serve. And so God made me a mother in many ways. I have women clients around the world that write me and tell me how much I've inspired them. I've helped them. I've officiated weddings of my clients. So it was that desire to feel purposeful, to feel generous in my spirit, to feel a legacy. My legacy is important. Family is important. Not even just the family I'm born in, but the family that I create through friendships. Clients become my family in a different way. Connection and family is so important to me. And so connecting to a partner in a genuine, authentic, healthy way is paramount to me. And so I created and attracted a partner who's similar to me. He's so about family and love and welcoming people, and his faith is important to him. And so I wanted to be able to use all of who I am to be of service to other people. Mm-hmm. And so I think service is so important to me. Helping is so, compassion is so important to me. Self-compassion. You know, if I can't love myself and forgive myself, how do I teach and inspire that in other people?
Yeah.
How do I, you know, have compassion toward other, you know, I've always had compassion, or so I thought it was compassion, but would be harder on myself. And so I had to also learn to let go of judgment and self-criticism. So I think valuing one's sense of self, confidence, these are things that are important to me, trust. But I think relationships are probably one of the most important things to me on this planet.
For sure. It's what makes us tick. It's what makes us happy at the end of our lives.
It's what makes us happy. Right? It doesn't matter how many degrees or accolades we have. We don't have connection to people. What is it for? What does it feel like? What's the meaning of it? And so from that experience, I knew, and I felt these stirrings as a child too. That's why I went into social work. I always cared about people. And I always believed that service was important and helping people out. And so coming out of that journey of pain solidified it even more. Because here's the thing, I had sort of got off my path of service in a different service. And I started selling real estate in New York City.
Oh,
which was, you know, still service, still helping, but it was the opposite. And it wasn't heart-centered for me. So coming out of that experience, I knew I wanted to get back to being of service to people, to helping particularly women grow in confidence and creating the life that they want with authenticity and what they want, what they value in themselves, and health, mental health. I value that so much, and physical health.
And how did that change, Angela, what you were looking for in a partner? It sounds like you went from Wall Street to something. So walk us through this journey when you crack open, because everyone here listening to this is going, all right, what do I do? That all sounds great. Like, what are some questions I can write down? Like, what are the tools? How do I, is there a step-by-step, like, let me get to the bottom of me?
Yeah. So I, you know, even when I wanted the Wall Street guy, I still wanted everything else. I wanted kindness, compassion, service, a man of faith, all the same things. But I had to really recognize the superficial part of it. And really buying into a dream that the world wanted me to have, or that I should have, you know. And every city has a culture, and the culture of New York City is capitalism, right? It's the epicenter of Wall Street. So yeah, I wanted Wall Street. I'm this, and I'm, you know, I'm this leader, and I'm doing work, and I wanted a partner who was Wall Street. So, you know, in order to know what you want in a partner, you have to ask yourself, what is important to you? And if you don't know what's important to you, ask yourself, where and how do I like to spend my time? Where do you spend your time? Is church important to you? Is the gym important to you? Is socializing with friends important to you? Is being on the mountains important to you? The beach, dogs, cats. What do you really feel you couldn't live without? And through that list that we talked about, you have to decide what's non-negotiable for you. You know, not willy-nilly, like what really a line in the sand, like this is what I won't be without in a relationship. Once you have those ideas, and that's why I do believe in the list. I wrote a long list and I encourage women, keep going, jot it down, write it down, get clarity, because you can't date with intention if you don't have clarity. And write about it, not because your friends have it or you see it on TV. Carrie Bradshaw had it on Sex and the City. Like, what do you want? What tickles your fancy? And write those things down. And then, if let's say you have 100 things, I want you to cross off 20 to 25 of them, because you're not going to get 100% of them. And through that, I want you to even narrow it down even more and more into its like laser focus of the core values that you could not live without within yourself and without a partner. And I can't tell someone what their values are, but what I can encourage you to do is you have to be out there dating. No matter how frustrating online dating is and the people showing up on the apps, you won't know who you are and what you want until you have the mirror reflection of someone showing it to you. You can listen to this podcast every day. You can read books. You can take classes. You can have a therapist, a coach. But if you're not out there dating and utilizing the skills that you're learning or seeing yourself reflected back to you in a relationship, you're not really seeing what you want and who you are and where you've progressed. Approach dating with curiosity, because that's what it is. That list you created, go see what it looks like in practicality. Like, you know, you do your research in a lab and then you go out and you experiment it on animals or on people. I encourage people to do the same. Write that list of your values, what you want and what's important, and then go out and see what it actually looks like in people and how you show up with that value. You go on a date and then you come home and you write down, what did I learn about myself? Not the other person. What did you learn about you?
Me.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
That's the whole key to dating, is discovering yourself. So I hope that answers your question and is helpful to your listeners. Like, figure out what you like to do when no one else is around, like where you can occupy your own time, becoming your own best friend, you know, and because you really want to create a relationship and a marriage that's rooted in friendship. So that's become your own best friend. Because even when things aren't great in your partnership, if you have someone that's your friend, you can get through those things because that's your friend. And I like to describe marriage. People ask me, what's it like being married? It's like an endless sleepover with my best friend.
Right.
I get to be with my friend all the time. Like, how awesome is that? Find your friend by becoming the friend to yourself.
So I'm sure people are curious. Mm-hmm. What was the work that you did and he did that led you back to each other in a way that led to marriage this time around?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'll start with him because I think his work was a little more inadvertent and not necessarily intentional.
Right.
But, you know, his mother had severe health challenges 10 years ago, and he's an only child. Mm-hmm. And it made him step up in a way that would change and shape and remold parts of his character, where he had to put someone else's life before his own. And let me tell you, I mean, I hate that his mother had to have these health challenges, but it created the man that I dreamed of. Someone that could put me before themselves, someone who catered to my needs as well as allowing me to cater to their needs, more of a partnership. So that part is what I think, sadly, he needed to go through, because our last experience was, he was a little bit more selfish and his needs being the most important. Still kindness, and we still work at communication, but when his mother went through these health challenges, he had to do most things for her. And so this became this selfless person and a sacrificial person. And so that person I married, and so he is sacrificial toward me and selfless toward me. So that's his part. The work that I did was recognizing where I was sabotaging my own relationships. I kept saying, remember earlier in the conversation, I wanted marriage and I wanted this person and I wanted that. Well, I didn't tell you, my biggest wound was a fear of divorce. I wasn't afraid of being married. I wasn't afraid of being a committed or being with one person. I was afraid of choosing. I was afraid of making a selection and then realizing I made the wrong choice. I might go through divorce. So I had to heal the wounds of divorce. And I have to say those wounds were from just separation. And so it was writing, journaling, turning what I didn't even really recognize they were pain from my childhood, if that makes sense. But you know it's there. So by writing, addressing what was my sadness, acknowledging pain, because I think we're shamed for pain. And someone said to me, Angela, you know, everyone's going through something. And I know we hear that, but this made me really hear it. And it made me normalize pain. And I took my pain to my platform and I normalized pain. I let people talk about it. Like, no matter how someone life may look, if they're on the planes and the yachts and the Monaco and, you know, Saint-Tropez and St. Bart's, we don't know what they're going through, but likely we're all going through something. And that helped me talk about pain, sadness, loneliness. And so once I got through addressing those things, healing my own loneliness, and New York can be a very lonely place.
It can.
And I focused on realizing that what I wanted was inside of me. And that sounds so cliche, but the skills and tools and person that I was looking for was within me. And so I took that focus off of someone else and poured it into me. I always spent time with myself, but more time with myself, more time with God, which is the relationship I needed to focus on, because I wanted a relationship with a man more than I wanted one with my creator. And that is where my story was so twisted. And then I also didn't want to repeat the pattern of divorce in my family. So I had to let that narrative go. And being a strong, independent woman, I had to tell myself that I can be strong, but I have to make space to really receive a masculine man. So I still consciously have to practice that because of the work that I do and the leadership that I do. I still have to shelve that at times and then allow myself to soften, which takes more work for me because I grew up in a family of women who had to be strong and independent, to allow my husband to be the man and the masculine figure. I'll say that more around tendency than gender, to allow my husband to be the masculine figure. So I had to move through divorce wound, the idea that I had to do it all myself. And I came out on my platform and said, I need a man. And ladies or whomever's listening, it's okay to say what you need, because that's the vulnerable part of us. If we're talking about female tendencies and female energy, is what attracts a masculine partner. You know, my sabotage was finding something wrong in everybody, so that guess what? I didn't have to choose.
Right.
And I attracted great partners, amazing men, had great relationships, but I'd find something wrong with you. And I'd be back by myself. So I didn't have to choose a partner. So you have to look at, what are your forms of sabotage? What are the patterns?
And you're not choosing your partner. Sorry to cut you off.
No, please.
An important point. You having the wounds made you not choose, so that you wouldn't choose wrongly and end up divorced, which was your worst fear.
That was my worst fear. And I had to move through my worst fear and really embrace it and look at it like, you know, I'll survive.
Yeah.
I'll survive. My mom survived. I will survive. And so I had to move through this idea and that divorce was so bad, because again, I'm a young Black girl growing up in California and to a single mom with two sisters. You know, the narrative would be that I would be an unwed mother, that I would not finish high school, that I'd be pregnant, that I'd be right. Maybe addicted to drugs. There were all the narratives about Black families. And so as a little girl, I'm probably unconsciously carrying that weight. I'm a very driven person. And so any of those narratives, I push through them, you know, getting a master's degree, going to top universities in the country, author, you know, all these narratives that I was able to push through, but I still hadn't pushed through the narrative, the marriage one. And I had to realize and come to terms with, I was allowing forces and patriarchal forces and society driven ideas deciding who I was going to be when it comes to family. And that, yeah, that I had to repeat the same pattern as my family, that if I did get married, I'd get divorced, or B, that I had to be a single woman. And so I had to change my narrative. So anyone listening, it's the conversation we have. You have to consciously change that conversation. I am a happily, healthy, I am healthily and successfully married to an amazing, wonderful man who loves me, cherishes me, and adores me. You know, it doesn't matter how many wrong people there are out there to date. All you need is one right person. So okay. Change the conversation to, I am with my right person. And even when the landscape shows you differently and it's hard to believe it, say it anyway. You have to faith it until you make it. And just say it as if it's happening and you believe it. And when you don't believe it and you fall in those moments of doubt and despair, because you will, and I did, I'm like, okay, come on, I'm doing all the right things here. Like, I have committed my life to service and I'm not doing these things to have a partner, but I'm still not understanding why it's eluding me also, you right. know? But again, my driven self, it was like a box ticking off a box to getting married. So I had to keep moving away from this idea of just checking off a box, get comfortable being alone more, like that it may not happen. I had to tell myself, if it doesn't happen, can you be happy? Can you be happy? And I was like, okay, God, I can be happy, but I don't want this. I know you still have this desire in me for a reason. And so what I realize now, that it was not just the desire of marriage that I wanted. It was who I'm married to. Remember, I met him at 5 years old.
Right.
There was a connection, a divine connection that I know my spirit, my inner person was longing for. So it wasn't just any person. It was him. Like truly the other person that not completes me, but completes my life. Because I'm complete. And whoever's listening, you're complete. Fractured, broken, however we are, we're whole. And we can take the messiness with us.
We're whole.
We're whole.
The analogy I give to our clients and our listeners, Angela, is we're looking for the lid to your pot. The pot, even if it's dinged up, backed up, paint chipping, that pot is complete and that pot does the job.
It does the
And
job.
The lid, when it fits right, just makes it nicer.
It makes it nicer and it makes the food cook a little faster and things turn out better, but the pot will work on its own.
Yeah.
You know, and I describe that as a cake. If you think of, you know, or a sundae, if you have a cake and you have the different layers to the cake, is a cake by itself and it's good. And you can have the cake without the little cherry on the top, or if you're looking at a sundae, the cherry on top, it's still a sundae and it's still delicious without it. A little cherry on top, or whatever it is you like to top your cakes with, just makes it that much
sweeter.
A lot
of frosting.
A lot of frosting. There you go.
Frosting than the cake.
Oh, see, I like the cake. And like, I kind of scrape off the icing, but it's the icing that's just, it's literally the icing on the cake, but the cake is delicious by itself, right? It's still Absolutely. Buttery and creamy and sweet, and, or it can be vegan and it's still delicious.
So but, good.
You
so
know, but it's good. The icing that's just like, you know, that just really topped it off. And that's how it is with relationships. You know, there are things that I'm extremely grateful to have a husband. There are things that make life easier to navigate, that I'm not alone in dealing with problems, and just, it's just that sense of safety and security, and also having that masculine figure I didn't grow up having in my household. But I think, you know, I like to act as if, and if marriage or partnership is what you want, act as if you have it now. How would your life change? I have greeting cards that I bought my partner and my now husband over 10 years ago in New York City when I lived there. And I just started stacking up cards. I have anniversary cards, Valentine's Day cards to my husband, birthday. I had it all. I was traveling to Paris, London, and I'd buy romantic cards. I'm like, one day someone's going to get these. One day.
He's going to earn them.
One day someone's going to earn them.
Did you give them all to him?
He still, no, I haven't even really had to buy too many cards. No, I still have some.
And you're giving them to him.
And I do give them to him. And some of them I'm trying to spread out because they're special. I got them in Paris. And so he doesn't get to see all of them. But yeah, and it's just, I can, there's a story behind him. I can tell him, I bought this card when I was in London, or I bought this card at Trader Joe's in New York City. And you were, it stood out to me for you. And I didn't know it was going to be you, but it was for you. I have a letter that I wrote to my husband and I read it the other day. And I'm like, this is so apropos. Like, he literally is this person. You know, so I encourage doing very practical things, writing in a gratitude journal, giving thanks for what you have as if you have it. And I know everyone, you hear that so much, but it works because it keeps your mindset at least on a higher frequency and vibration of positivity. And dating yourself. What do you want your partner to do for you? Do it for yourself. You want flowers? Buy flowers. You want romantic dinners? Take yourself out or cook a romantic dinner. You want candles and bubble baths and roses? Do that for yourself. You want trips? I traveled alone. I went to Italy by myself for 4 months. So I knew I could do things by myself. Travel with me and my dog, the dog that passed away. Yeah. So it's really becoming who you want on the inside. And then life will manifest it. It's the law of the universe. It has to happen. It has to. I can't control timing, and I can't tell you timing. It took us decades.
Of course it did, right? A couple, three, 4 decades.
It did, almost 4 decades.
Yeah. Well, tell me, you talk a lot about journaling. Yes. And lots of things. You wrote about your pain. You manifested your partner. You wrote about your wounds. You wrote about your beliefs. If you could tell my listeners tonight, I want you to write out these 5 questions. And over the next month, what would some of those be if we need to prompt ourselves to start to do this self-discovery? Can you give us some things to start writing about?
Okay. I would start with, the story I keep telling myself about X, relationships, marriage, blank. Okay. I show up in a relationship as blank. My past relationships have not worked out because I, right? It's really important to say I, because you have to take ownership for the part that you bring to the relationship, right? Not saying that you didn't date someone who was a total creep, whatever, but what were your patterns? You got to acknowledge the patterns so you don't repeat them.
And your pattern can be, I chose this person again. Same dude, different face.
I keep choosing the wrong person. And then why do you keep making, why does that pattern keep showing up? Why? And then I would say, okay, I gave you 3. I did say something like, what do I believe in about relationships or marriage? Because it's important to decipher what is it that you think and believe and want. But it's also important to understand what you've learned, what I've learned about marriage and family and relationships from my mom, my dad, church, society. You have to have this paradigm. You got to have a picture, because that picture, if you're not conscious about it, is what's dictating the choices that you're making. And then regardless of what gender or whatever you date, ask yourself what you learned about that gender from your mom and what you learned about that gender from your father. Even if your father or mother weren't around, what did you learn about men or women from that? Right? It takes a deeper dive. And that's when you're just going to journal. You're going to freestyle. I learned that dating is hard. I learned that marriage doesn't work. I learned that men cheat. I learned that women are submissive. I've learned that women cheat. I've learned that women, you know, are hard to please. I've learned that women are difficult. Put that down on paper. And then the next question is, I want to show up in my next relationship as... I want to show up in my next relationship as, and then whatever you write, I want you to start taking, what's the first step to embody that? What needs to happen for you to become more of whatever you wrote down? Are you more generous? Are you more forgiving? Are you less talkative? Are you less bossy? Whatever it is you feel like is that thing you want to remove and you want to become less of or more of, how can you start embodying that now and take the first tiny, tiny, infinitesimal step? This doesn't happen overnight, so we don't have to make it overwhelming. Start small, and then you grow and nurture that part of your character, right? Mm-hmm. And pay attention to what have other, you know, one of the other things I did that I like to share is I went around and I asked three of my exes that I had good relationships and friendships with is what would make me better in my next partnership?
Wow.
And it takes a lot of guts.
Wow.
A lot of humility to ask that question and be willing to hear it. But I encourage you, you can do it. You know, so, and you know, and I'm sure if you dated a nice, kind person, they're going to lead with the great things about you first. So you'll be able to hear it. But prepare yourself to hear the things that they say, you know, I think you could be more of this, which is softer than saying, well, you were this and that, and you were nah, nah, nah. It kind of changes it to a little bit more positive. You could be a little more this. And that was helpful for me to hear. And it's still, I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect. Your listeners, no one's perfect. And it's something, whatever our Achilles heel is, it's something we work at all the time. But recognize your Achilles heel. And if you can't recognize your Achilles heel or your blind spot, find a group, a coach, a therapist, a group, you know, something that's helping you see what's tripping you up every time you get in a relationship.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
When you asked your exes about how you could be better in a relationship going forward, was their feedback similar? And did you agree with their feedback?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't surprised by it because I've taken the time.
Great.
I took the time to know myself. So your listeners, if you're spending time learning yourself and you're journaling some of those things, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses in the relationships? What someone says shouldn't surprise you. Shouldn't surprise you at all. So I agree with them. And again, it was definitely many more overwhelmingly positive attributes that I brought to the relationship. And then other things that I knew. And I even things that I look back and I would apologize to my exes for, like, oh, I must have liked, you know. And I'll be transparent. I think one of the things that, and I still work on it to this day.
Sure.
You know, I'm a very demanding person of myself. I'm very driven. And sometimes I put that on other people. And that's a lot. That's exhausting. You know?
Guilty.
Yeah. So I look at like, God, I mean, the things that I expected boyfriends in high school and college to do. And it was like, oh, but I will say part of that was attached to, there was a little bit of wanting men to show up like my father, just a little bit. So that part I've healed because I don't need a man to be my father or to show up in that way. I do those things for me. I do like the masculine part where there's a sense of safety that I, physical safety as a woman that sure. I can't create for myself, right? That like, that's the disparity between a man and a woman that, you know, right, is physical prowess. So, in that sense, the masculine has been extremely safe for me. It's feeling like, you know, I don't think people understand as women how we're always alert. We're always, you know, there's a sense of just being present all the time or try to be. So there's a sense of feeling a little more protected and safe. And then some of the things that I would say are stereotypical, and I'm going to say stereotypical gender roles that my husband does that work for me, that are roles that I don't care to have to do. So I'm okay with it being stereotypical gender roles for him, but I'd also don't want to have just the gender stereotypical roles for me. I don't want to just be the one cooking, even though I do cook most of the time. So yeah, I encourage people to have those hard conversations. And if you can't reach out to an ex, ask yourself, what do you think they would say drove them nuts about you?
Yeah.
That, you know, that they chose someone else to end up in partnership with. And not, this is not to blame yourself or shame or feel badly. This is to empower yourself.
Exactly. Because,
right? Once we know better, we can do better.
Amen. Data is good.
that, and that's what dating is. Dating, you are collecting data.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, we do with our VIP, with our one-on-one clients, we do something called a 360 feedback, where we have them reach out to their village.
Ooh.
Asking their friends, family, anybody whose opinions they respect, why do you think I haven't met the right partner yet? And that feedback comes to us confidentially, and it's very powerful and moving.
Wow. And I know that there's clients that I have that just struggle to ask that question to other people. They just, sometimes people may not want to hear the truth. So I think that is amazing. That's powerful.
It's helpful.
It's so courageous, and it takes, you know, to want to hear it. But I think some people, and I have friends, you know, and clients that, you know, repeat the same patterns. And I think it's, as a coach, there's still a fine line to, right? What you point out in people, you sure. really want to help them see things for themselves.
Yeah.
And you want to help them see their stumbling blocks and what keeps them tripping over it. And so you have to pose questions in a way that help them see it. But if we don't change, nothing changes. No change.
No change.
You can definitely elevate the people that you attract by elevating who you are, elevating how you show up, because life will mirror you, and that amazing partner that you dream of is out there. You know, just never give up the desire of wanting it, and never give up the desire to work toward it, but sort of soften the attachment to the outcome of it and leave room for the real infinite possibilities. I would never have thought my husband and I were getting back together. But I will tell you, I started dating and doing the conscious dating method that I talk about. And that was, I'm going to date with curiosity. I'm going to date to learn about myself, and I'm going to discover something new. I'm going to date outside my type, because my type obviously isn't working for me.
Right.
And I really opened up myself to meeting nice people, you know, and really showing the universe that I was ready and I was open. I think open-mindedness is important to receive a partner, instead of this very myopic, narrow idea. This is what I want. This is what I know is good for me. And if we know that, then why isn't it working out? So let's just even though we have our core values, soften this just perfect idea that we have, and let life surprise you.
Yeah. Because love will always come to you in an unexpected package.
It will. And it did. And we met up at a concert in Vegas. And it was this like, whoa, wait a minute. This is different. Right. I haven't felt this for him in like 15 years. We just focused on friendship. And then he took me by my hand. You know, I was visiting Vegas, and he said, and within a week, he was like, we're doing this. And I was like, okay. I don't know what that meant, but he said, we're doing it. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
We were together for 2 years, and he proposed. And so I think, and you also have to have a dream team. You have to have, you know, like you said, the 360 team or community. It takes a village for anything. It takes a village to be your best version of yourself. It takes a village to create the life that you want. It takes a village to have the marriage you want. And so have a coach, have a therapist, have all those things, but also have friends that believe in it for you.
And elevate you.
And so the moments that you may feel that it's not happening, that you have friends that continue to encourage you, inspire you, uplift you. I had that around me, and it was helpful when I was doubtful. And I, you know, in those moments that I felt despair, I would cling on to that little mustard seed of faith. And that's all you need sometimes.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing of yourself as you did. And I'm really inspired by your story. And thank you for dropping all these gems on us. And
I hope so.
I think this episode has helped me, and I think it'll help every person listening, no matter where you are in the tunnel. If you're just cracking open and feeling the pain all the way through, maybe you're married already, And you need to think about, okay, what am I bringing to this relationship? Instead of picking my partner apart, how can I be better? Maybe I can ask, how can I be a better partner? And so being curious, being self-aware, and not being afraid.
Ah, you just summed it up so beautifully. I agree with all those things. And I hope that it was helpful and inspirational to your listeners, and that's something they can grasp onto and change that little part. You know, whatever it is, if we take one little thing and do it differently, the response that we receive from life and from people will show that reflection of that. You know, life is truly energy. And when we change our energy, the energy of things that show up change. And so I embrace where you are, because even the painful part is the beautiful part. You have to come undone to become done. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with feeling shattered.
That's right.
Right. There's beauty in the mess, and there's a message in the mess.
That's right. Oh, you were awesome. Well,
thank you.
Angela, where can people hear more of you?
Yes, yes. So Instagram is probably the platform that I use the most, and it's Angela Nicole Holton. And also in my community, Love Sanctuary, which I don't know if I can give you the website you can put in the notes, but it's love-sanctuary-academy.mn.com. So
awesome.
Just launching this community, and just want to invite people wherever they are, like you said, in the tunnel or the love journey, to just come have community and talk about it and learn from each other and share stories and strategies.
You're awesome. Well, thank you so much, Smart Daters. Be brave this week. Crack open a little bit, no matter where you are in the journey, and ask yourself, what do I value? Who am I? Who do I want to be? Am I making progress towards that in every aspect of your life? And if you need a consultation and you're ready, reach out to smartdatingacademy.com. Put your big girl or your big boy pants on, because you are ready for this. So until our next episode, I bid you farewell. And thank you again, Angela.
Thank you for having me, Bella. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.